Welcome to The Thoughtful Entrepreneur. If you're committed to growing your business by serving audiences with generosity and real expertise, you're in the right place. This is a daily 15-minute show featuring leaders who believe real impact comes from generosity, not hype. Which means, as a listener, you're going to get the good stuff. In fact, we created podverified.com to give thoughtful leaders like you free tools to show up better on podcast stages like this one. That includes your free PodVerified score, free PodVerified guest training, a free media kit builder, and so much more. It's the first ecosystem of its kind built by podcasters who genuinely want to help guests thrive and grow in podcasting. Visit podverify.com if you'd like to be featured as a future guest. I'm Josh Elledge. Let's get into it. With us right now, my good friend, Thomas Watkins. Thomas, we've been friends for a couple of years. You are the founder and CEO of Three Leaf Consulting. You're found on the web at threeleaf.consulting. Thomas, it's great to have you.
Great to be here.
Well, before we get going, you know, I always love, you know, talking with other high level leaders, you know, what they do for fun when they're not at work. And do you mind sharing like,
camping with the family. We try to go camping out here in Texas when the weather is good. And my son's doing lacrosse nowadays, trying that out. And wow. My daughter doing gymnastics. So we're driving around, trying to figure it all out, trying to make it happen.
Are you tent camping or RV camping?
Tent camping. There's a lot of really good parks in Texas. And so we try to, with a group of other parent friends, twice a year, get to some of those parks and sometimes by a lake and sometimes there's activities, but you know, kind of rent a spot and do it for the weekend. And so I kind of need that.
Yeah. I don't know if you're had a childhood like mine, but that's, you know, I grew up pretty poor. And so, you know, if camping, you know, once you got your tent, once you got your stuff, man,
correct.
You know, it's not that expensive.
That's right. The inexpensive ones are visit family for a long distance trip and go camping. Those are the
so much fun hiking, walking, fishing, you know, all totally. Those outdoor stuff, you know, you might be in an area where cell coverage is a little spotty. Good.
Yeah.
Correct. So it's good for me so that I unplug and unwind, which is really critical for me to be able to do what I do so much better.
It forces you to, if you just left it up to yourself, you're just not going to do it. But if you've got something on the calendar where this is the family trip, then unplug everything, turn it off, go on your trip.
Yeah. Thomas, I'm so excited to have you. So you are one of the most talented people I know when it comes to user experiences within apps, websites, that sort of thing. Do you mind maybe just start off by talking about an overview of your work, who you work with, kind of the problems that you solve?
Yeah, the idea is you want to resonate with people who are going to be using your products and services. And there's kind of a science to that, because it's one thing to have a great idea, and it's a whole different thing to get it to be something that connects with people. And so that's where my team and I come in. You know, we've worked with a lot of startups before, had a lot of exciting success stories, exciting war stories. And really what it is having a good idea by itself isn't enough to really get to where you want to get. Your competitors all have similar ideas, and you're building it, and you're an expert of your area, and you kind of put things on a screen. But a lot of times you need someone by your side who can kind of help you connect with your users and say, hey, if you present it like that, I know that's a popular term in your industry, but people in your target market won't get that. Or if you lay it out like this, you know, on your hero image, no one's going to know what you sell. They have to scroll down, you know, several screen lengths to kind of see it. So whether it's, we don't do mostly websites, we're mostly in the product world, but, you know, making it so people can kind of get hooked and kind of into whatever it is you're doing, and building that connection is something that we focus on.
Yeah. Well, so obviously, Thomas, one thing I need to talk about is vibe-coded apps, vibe-coded everything. It's very easy to do. It's amazing. I think since the last time I had you on my podcast, maybe a couple of years ago, and it's, I know in your world, you see this a lot. What is the state of the industry when it comes to app product development, digital product development, websites, that sort of thing? I would imagine you take a look at a lot of vibe-coded websites and apps.
Well, one way to think about it, so a lot has changed and a lot continues to change. And really what it is speed. And this technology has taken what is out there and knows how to blend it together to give you a website or a service. So anyone can sit down nowadays, and there's so many, you know, Replit, Lovable, there's so many of them nowadays, where you can kind of do commands and basically instantly build a beautiful website, build a beautiful web app. But the way to think about this is it's still kind of like an LLM, right? If you're trying to write a email, we've all done it. You've written things, written text. It gives you stuff that's good, but it's also generic. It's taking kind of known stuff out there and taking the sort of most likely sentence given the prompt. Well, when you're vibe building apps, it's doing the same thing. It's taken commonly known widgets and layouts and just kind of mushing it together and then spitting it out for you. So you'll instantly see something that, hey, wow, this looks pretty good, especially for something that I just built in seconds with just a simple prompt. But there's going to be things that are missed, nuances that are missed. It doesn't understand what you're trying to do and trying to achieve. So the more mundane or basic the thing you're trying to build, the better it'll be. But as soon as we start getting into the nuances of your idea, whatever is special about the service that you're offering to the world, the more distance it's going to get from what you want. And that's when you kind of want folks by your side who kind of know how to do it.
Yeah. What are examples maybe of some of those things that you've seen, just vibe code? I mean, I've seen a lot of ugly vibe coded stuff, and they all just kind of have, it's almost like, you know, as someone, you know, I've been a journalist since the 90s. And so I appreciate well-written language. And, you know, when you see, and this was much more pronounced, you know, a year ago. I mean, it's gotten a little bit better. But, you know, they're just AI crutches that you see very much in the way that it writes. And it's like humans don't speak like that, at least, you know, in this instant, like in a great, you know, for example, like if you're using it for social media content, it's like, you know, I understand maybe in a formal letter, a human might say that, but they wouldn't say that on social media. Like something just feels off. And so I would imagine that is magnified when you're talking about a user journey and like where might be in their app. And they're like, wait a minute, you want me to scroll down here, then click on that, and then know about this? Like it's just to the founder, we get so blind to, we understand everything. It's of course you do. It's your creation, right? Of course you understand everything. But the reality is like, you know, it's just that that's not how, like I was talking about, that's not how humans speak. That's not how humans behave in that environment. And that's why, you know, if you're working with someone that's done this a gazillion times, it's easy to spot, like I would with bad language. You know, yes, I know that's factually correct, but it's weird and it's off-putting and people are going to bail and you're going to lose a lot of money. Same thing happens with apps, I'm sure.
That's right, because it has a hard time looking at the big picture. You see this sometimes. I was listening to a podcast the other day where it's talking about music generators, AI music generators. And it was talking about like, if you just, you just turn on a song and let's say it's a classical symphony song and it's AI generated and you listen to it like, oh, wow, this sounds nice. The violins sound exactly like violins, the trumpets, you could hear the instruments. Wow, this sounds beautiful. But if you listen to the whole song, it doesn't do what the song, you know, people who understand what classical music, it's not going to do from beginning to middle to end what the song is supposed to do. If you say like, oh, make an AI generated Mozart or Beethoven, someone will listen to it, like, no, that's actually not it. It's just sort of repeating a generic classical music sound because it has a problem with the big picture. So when you're building an app or, you know, a website, it knows how to build a screen and sort of screen by screen. Okay, you put widgets on the screen, you have a title here and you do that. But it's not thinking in terms of the flows. Anytime we use software, we're flowing through things. It's not about the screens. It's about what we're trying to achieve. So that's why in well-designed technology, the technology actually kind of fades in the background. The technology you notice is usually when things are going wrong. You're like, ah, why won't this button do this? Or why is this drop down here? Or what is that supposed to mean? What am I supposed to do with that? So us as UX designers, we're supposed to make all of that extra sort of the fluff, the outside, the technology fade away. And then you just have the human and the task. Once all of that fades away, you have the human faced with their task. They have what they know, and they walk through the kind of the flow through the screens, the widgets, and they get to whatever goal they're trying to achieve. So that's what one would need to think in terms of in order to design a good flow.
Yeah.
But the AI model will say, like, okay, well, we need this screen. So this is how that's constructed. And it just builds it out. This is how this is constructed. And then when you start to use it, that's when the problems get visible.
Yeah. Well, there's so much that's being created right now. Thomas, what do you think, like, just from your perspective? I think that this really creates an opportunity for those of us who are committed to great user experience, because the overall quality, the overall volume of content and apps and interfaces is enormous. But this presents such a huge opportunity for those who provide a very superior experience.
That's right, because now you need a differentiator, right? So if we are truly entering an age where anybody can kind of create an app, that's wonderful from a democratization perspective. But then it's a challenge from a business that's trying to monetize services, right? So if you've got some technology that you want to offer the world, what's different about you than anybody else? Anyone can vibe code a lot of these things in a weekend, some version of it. There's pitfalls, right? In order to get the security where you need to get it, in order to get other things, you need to beef up some stuff on the technology end, but it's still accelerated. And so what's going to be your differentiator? If you look at a lot of hit apps, apps that really succeed with people, Zoom, Slack, you know, Gmail, there's a lot of these things that they didn't invent anything, right? They took patterns that were already there. It's just they nailed it. When you go and use their apps, it just feels good. It feels right. It's, you don't have confusion. You don't have the barriers, because it's kind of thoroughly thought through. And I've run into so many situations where I'm trying out somebody's vibe coded app. It looks beautiful. And then I try to do something really simple and things go quickly south. It's not really thought through. And we have kind of like a different definition, or we need to develop a different definition for what finished looks like, right? So in other words, 15 years ago or 20 years ago, a good website is going to have a certain level of polish. It's going to have certain things about it that you look at it and you know, wow, hundreds of hours of work went into creating that. Now in the vibe coded era, you can create something that looks like that instantly. So our definition needs to shift from how polished do the widgets look on the screen into something like, okay, when I try to use it, is it without pitfalls? Is it not confusing? Is it optimizing what I need? I'll give you an example. I teach at Rice University, a business class on the side, and it's a class full of entrepreneurs. And many of these students have their own companies or their things, their projects they're trying to launch. One of in particular was a sort of a helping people with their civic responsibility of voting and trying to inform people about things before they get to the polls. Now, when you went to the website, there was just so many options of things you could do and analyze legislation and see the history of the various different people running for office. It's just a candy store, just all this stuff to do, but you didn't know where to start. And the person who built it succeeded at putting all of this stuff, this functionality, into their website, but they didn't achieve the really simple thing that the person wants to do. I said, where do I start if I'm looking for my upcoming election? It says, oh, well, you can find, you know, where your location and stuff like that. Okay. And I says, don't tell me where it is. I'm going to go to your website and try to find it. And I saw his face. He's agonizing as I'm clicking the wrong things and I'm trying to find it. And then after a lesson of that, I said, how about you just enter a zip code or something like that. It's not a particularly sexy thing. It's not just something simple. Either use my location through geolocation or enter a zip code or something. And then I just land on a screen that's what I need, my upcoming election or something like that. And then when he followed that, it completely changed the trajectory of what he was building, because he just simplified, focused on one key task that the person needs to do, just, you know, catering to the psychology of the moment of the user, what they're going to probably be looking for, what is going to make sense to them. And you end up on a much better path toward something successful.
Yeah. You know, as founders, obviously we want our clients to be very successful with our creation. I mean, that's why we do what we do. And I know how frustrating that can be when it's like, oh, people are not crossing the finish line. They're not doing this. They're not doing that. And that's our problem to solve. It's not theirs. And Thomas, you know, hopefully they have someone like you. Your website is 3leaf.consulting, the number 3leaf .consulting. How do you work with folks, and what do you recommend they do from this conversation here?
Yeah, like what I do is if you want to reach out to me, you could find me on my website, find me on LinkedIn, Thomas Watkins 3leaf. Just chat with me. Tell me about whatever it is you're kind of working on, what it is you're struggling with. And oftentimes what I find is people with really, really good ideas, but they just struggle with closing the gap of how do I get the developers to build it in the awesome way that I'm kind of like imagining it? And I just help fill in that gap. And so you can put out something that you're really proud of and that you start seeing success for.
Yeah. 3leaf.consulting. Thomas Watkins, thank you so much for joining us. Great conversation.
Thank you for having me. Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to The Thoughtful Entrepreneur. If your goal is to grow your business, increase revenue, and build authority without gimmicks, this show is designed for you. Each episode gives you practical insight from leaders who have turned trust and credibility into real business results. If you value short, thoughtful conversations that respect your time, make sure you're subscribed. We publish daily 15-minute episodes focused on growth that actually compounds. And if you're interested in being a guest, or you want to turn podcast appearances into measurable business growth, visit podverified.com. You can start for free with your PodVerified score, along with free podcast guest training and a free media kit builder. These tools are built to help you get booked on better shows, deliver stronger interviews, and convert audience trust into revenue. No more desperate sales. You truly can enjoy all the business you like by generously sharing your wisdom. Everything we offer is built by podcasters for guests with a focus on trust, organic growth, and long-term business success. Thanks again for spending your time with us. I'll see you next time.